We're doing the laws of reading from the Torah. We're up to the 17th halacha in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Mekor Chayim. When a person gets an aliyah, so you're supposed to open the Torah and look at the place where they're going to start reading. Then you're going to make the blessing, so we cover the writing. People shouldn't think you're reading from the Torah. They shouldn't think the blessing's written into the Torah. You hold the Sefer Torah with your two hands, and you hold it right on the right and on the left. If you're in a Sephardi shul where they actually hold the parchment, so then you're not supposed to touch the parchment directly. We hold the parchment with a cloth or with a talis. The only time you can touch the parchment directly is for the sake of the Torah. Like if you're going to sew a Torah scroll together, you're going to fix a Sefer Torah, then we do touch the Torah. And then we make the blessing. Some have the custom, they turn their head slightly as they make the blessing, so it shouldn't look like they're looking into the Torah to see the blessing. A person should make his blessing out loud. The halacha says that if a person made it quietly, if he made his blessing quietly, so then some even say he has to repeat his blessing. We don't rule that way, but we do rule that a person should make the blessing out loud. So, guys, you have to practice. And I recommend having a photocopy of the blessing in your siddur so that when you get an aliyah, you could take it up with you and read out of the paper. Have a piece of paper written clearly with nekudos or transliterated so that you can read off the paper when you make the blessing. Some shuls don't have it prominently displayed. Some shuls, you got to look. Or the gabbaim are covering the blessing with their siddur or something. So. Or it's not there at all. So have it in your sitter. What?
The shul on our base, we didn't have anything. I just paid attention to that the other day, so I went and I had to learn how to write with Nikki Dodd on the computer and everything, so I could pull it on.
It's also in every sitter. You just have to make sure to bring it up where you can read it properly if you need it.
It's just hard. If you hold your sitter sometimes with one hand, you're holding the Torah, the other hand the sitter flaps closed. So have it in the, make a photocopy once in your life and have it in your sitter as a steady thing. We as a congregation should not answer Amen until he finishes his blessing. And the one who's reading from the Torah shouldn't start reading until the congregation finishes saying Amen. The one who reads in the Torah customarily says his Amen out loud and says it in a prolonged way. Amen. Before he starts reading, so that the congregation hears that he's about to start. When we read, we're supposed to stand upright. A person shouldn't be leaning on the bima or on a wall. A person should stand upright. If a person is heavy set and he needs to lean, that's okay, but ideally not. Yes?
A lot of the time I've seen people like stand up like this, like in the middle of when they're like saying the blessing. Were they standing up for God?
So there is a custom to bow as you say Baruchut Hashem Amvorach, and then Baruch Hashem Amvorach Leolam Ve'ed. There is such a custom, yes.
Okay.
To bow slightly, yeah. Yes.
No, like the congregation.
Okay. The one who gets the aliyah should read along with the Baal Kori quietly. The Baal Kori is the one who has to focus on the reading, so the one who gets the aliyah should read real quietly so he doesn't disturb the concentration of the Baal Kori. Yeah, if you got the aliyah, you mouth along the words, but not loud enough so that the Baal Kori hears it. Yes?
That's what you would think to. So when, if one gets an aliyah, and and then you are supposed to bow right there yourself or the congregation?
Both, yeah, yeah.
Both, okay.
Yeah.
In your head even, or you mean like
no, mouth the words.
Are you supposed to hear yourself or just feel your
mouth? No, you shouldn't even hear yourself. Just move your lips. once they start reading in the Torah, you're not supposed to talk. You're not even supposed to talk between aliyot. The problem is they make these long mishaberachs. So I don't know what to do about that. Good. Some shuls don't have mishaberachs. That's very nice. I didn't follow.
Where I go, which is a lovely place, that's one issue. It's 10 minutes, you know, in the middle. And if you shouldn't talk, it's you can't do it. It doesn't work.
So take a safer.
Make a mishaberach. There are shuls that, which is a, I think, wonderful thing, where they would announce and then you fill in yourself where you are, the person. But I imagine Jews, some people don't like that.
Yeah. So in our shul, Rav Rabinovich instituted, based on Rav Henkin or others, that we don't have mishaberachs altogether till the very end of Kriyas HaTorah, and then we finish them off quickly. But you don't, even the guy who gets an aliyah doesn't get a mishaberach. And this way we don't have talking. It's a very smart thing. So there also, he instituted Mishaberach, Yevarech V'Yirapes Kol Cholei Amo Yisrael. That's it. No names.
Yeah, a big congregation that can be...
Yeah?
I wasn't talking about the other individual.
It's
usually relatively
critical. I say you should have a sefer with you. I don't know. It's like, you know, if you're traveling somewhere, I don't know if you guys had this experience, you're driving and you picked up a newspaper. I don't know, maybe... In our day and age, you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But if you picked up a newspaper and every time you hit a red light, you try to read something, and suddenly the lights aren't long enough for you. Because you're
we all have a homish with us. It's just saying discipline to do it.
Right?
It's not like we don't have material.
Right, I don't know. I'm usually learning. I wish they'd have a longer break between aliyahs. I got so much to learn, yeah. Right?
We'll
yeah.
If these skip parts of Sufism in order to keep up with me, can you say those during the pauses from the earlier?
Can you still say the Mantra Smart after Shmon Esrei?
I heard that you could say them after. Like, immediately after the top. Yeah,
I heard that you could. Some parts of
it. It makes sense to me that you could, but I don't have it off the top of my head. I don't have proof that that's correct. I'd want to look it up inside. It makes sense to me that that's correct, but again, I want to look at the sources.
A lot of people come late to shul, so if one comes late, should they be sure to hear the Torah reading and catch up on their davening after?
So that depends, but I want to first address the first point you made about coming late to shul. Maybe I'll say a humorous sentence, but I'll explain. I'm a big fan of coming late to shul. Oh, so you'll ask me why. So obviously, I'm a bigger fan of coming on time to shul. Obviously, a person should come on time to shul. But often a guy wakes up Shabbos morning and it's 9 o'clock or 9:30, and he tells himself, oh, it's embarrassing, I'm going to walk into shul for Musaf, maybe even Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf. And I say, get out of that bed, get into your suit, go out to shul. I don't care if you show up for a leinu and you have to catch up the rest of it. Bottom line, your Shabbos is a different Shabbos if you go to shul. And a person should not allow himself to get into that habit of staying in bed. Get out. You'll show up really late. I don't care. You don't feel so comfortable. Big deal. But go. It's a terrible thing when people say, I'm late, I'm not going. Then their whole Shabbos is shot. Get to the shul. It's a different atmosphere. It affects you. And here's what happens in the long run. The people who say, I'm not going, it's too late. So then they can spend months where they don't show their face in shul. And it deteriorates the whole Shabbos for the family, and it deteriorates their own spiritual level. The people who force themselves to go out there and get to shul, so they're a little uncomfortable, and next week, they'll show up 2 minutes earlier. They'll promise themselves that next week they'll be on time, and they might. You know, if the baby wakes them or whatever, they might actually be on time next week. But even if they won't be on time, so there'll be a drop earlier, a drop later, but with time, eventually, they'll get there earlier, and they'll get more of davening. So force yourself to shul. That's what I'm saying. I'm a big fan of getting to shul late. I'm a bigger fan of getting there on time. Yeah, obviously. Or even early. Okay, so people will tell you, if I go to the Chabad, I miss the meal, because then by the time I get back, it's 12 o'clock. So I'm not saying you have to do that. But I am saying you have to get to shul. Even if you get there for the last 20 minutes, even if you only get there to Musaf, so I just want to address that, because that's a mistake people make, and it destroys the family. People who don't go to shul on Shabbos morning, they pay a huge price in the education of their kids. Even if you show up late, you're giving your kids something very important in their spiritual existence, in their connection to Yiddishkeit, in their connection to orthodoxy, to the shul. So that's just number one. Now, the question was asked, what happens if I'm going to show up late and they're reading the Torah? Should I catch up on Shacharis during that time or not? So that depends on when Sof Zman Kriyat Shema and Sof Zman Tefillah are. If you're going to be able to make up Kriyat Shema and davening during the Haftarah and after davening, so then do it after the Kriyas HaTorah. If you're going to miss Man Kriyat Shema, which is pretty early these days, it's like 9 o'clock, I don't know when Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. What? 8:45? 9? When's, I don't know when Sof Zman Kriyat Shema is. What? It's like 9-ish.
So, I think it's like
8:53. Okay, so Sof Zman Kriyat Shema is 8:53. You're going to wait till after Kriyas HaTorah. You're not going to make Zman Kriyat Shema. So say your Kriyat Shema, and you'll be Yotzi Kriyat Shema. Now what about Shmona Esrei? So again, that depends. If he's saying Sof Zman Tefillah is 9:45, will you be able to get in your blessings on Shema and Shema before 9:45? So fine. So then you could do it after reading the Torah. Very often you're not going to make it, and that's why usually you should say it all during Kriyas Torah, so you'll catch half of Kriyas Torah. What can you do? Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Right. Sometimes in the summer, the only minion that we have is a Chabad minion. That on Shabbos day that misses Zman Tefillah. Totally. It cannot possibly make Zman Tefillah. Is it better to daven alone? Is it better to daven alone and then go there for Torah reading, or is it better to just not go there at all, or is it better to?
No, for sure you should go. If that's the only minion you have, for sure you should go to that minion. And whether you should daven Shema and Shmona Esrei earlier, every person should ask that question to a rabbi that knows them. It's a good question, but I think the answer has to be tailor-made for you. Okay? Ask your rabbi. Let's go back to our halacha. We'll conclude with another issue, which is, do you have to stand during reading the Torah or not? So, technically, you don't have to stand, he says. There are those who do stand during Kriyas Torah, but you don't really have to stand. You could be sitting while they read the Torah.